Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, guys, welcome to episode 141 of the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast. Graham, how are you this fine Friday evening as we record?
Good, let's get on with it. Come on, cut to the chase, go.
Oh, charming. You always ask me how my week's been. I try to ask you how your week's been, and you cut me off. There's some double standards going on here. Well, if that's the case, then we will get straight to our guest then. Ladies, gentlemen, sisters, brothers, and non-binary others, may I introduce our guest for this week? He is the first ever inductee into the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast Hall of Fame, Class of 2020, Nishko himself. Ryan, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Now, as I believe you two as well have been, I've been to a WWE Hall of Fame induction, so allow me to ramble for an hour and a half.
We've never been to a Hall of Fame induction.
You didn't know?
No, we were at MSG watching Cass and Enzo invade.
So I went to
William Morrissey.
The WrestleMania 31. When I went to WrestleMania 31, I didn't really understand the magnitude of professional wrestling that happens around WrestleMania. So we just did the WWE stuff. Now, we happened to get tickets to the NXT event. This was before TakeOver. This was like their biggest event ever, and it was like less than 5,000 people. And then we went to the Hall of Fame, and Larry Zbysko was inducted that year, and Larry told one story, pretty much how he got into professional wrestling by harassing Bruno Sammartino. This took him almost an hour to tell this story because he kept telling the same parts over and over and over again. And it got to the point where we were just like, okay, moving on. It was still cool to be there. It was cool to go to a Hall of Fame induction. Unfortunately, the celebrity that year was Arnold, and we were in California, and they didn't like him very much. So he kind of got cut short, I think, because hostile crowd reaction. It was cool, though. There was no one really, you know, spectacular for me, but it was a fun experience. And we made friends with the guys sitting next to us, and they're still friends to this day, so that was nice.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hall of Fame that we've dragged on, WrestleMania 24, when he inducted Ric Flair into the Hall of Fame for the first time, he started, and this is a quote from Triple H, they sent him out to cut Ric Flair short on his speech because he'd been going for about half an hour, 45 minutes, and he was only up to the 80s. So, Triple H like, you want me to go and tell Ric Flair he's got to cut his speech short? He has never been booed that loudly outside of an actual wrestling match before. I've never seen anything like it. Brilliant.
I part of me misses the old Hall of Fame system where everyone kind of got 15 minutes and then you moved on. Part of me also likes sitting down for a 5-hour Hall of Fame induction because I like stories.
I do. I like a story. I like a very good story. I remember sitting through Jim Ross's induction in WrestleMania 23, and he gave this great story about when he was riding with someone, and they had a loaded gun on the dash, and he's trying to put a fire out in a blind man's crotch at the same time. It was fantastic. It was just fantastic. So many great stories in wrestling up and down the road. Yeah.
How long was Mr. T's speech? I've never heard it, but I've heard a bit.
I didn't watch that one. Personally.
I can't remember myself. I really don't. I do blank out a lot of it because it is a lot of filler, and some of the stories aren't very interesting. But when you get that story, when you get that person, You know, it's like it's the closest that we get from WWE to a shoot interview, I feel, because I don't work here. You gave me a Legends contract for X amount of years. I really just kind of say whatever I want. You know, but I always like watching because there are unexpected moments. We all remember when the insane person attacked Bret Hart. Like, it's you get to see some cool stuff go down at the Hall of Fame induction. As much as I didn't really like that year because they were doing it in the ring, and it felt weird.
It did feel a bit weird when we look back at it after, because that was happening while we were at MSG. And even though that was the New Japan Ring of Honor event, all anyone would talk about what was happening at the Hall of Fame that night. So, as you say, Ryan, a lot of incredible stuff happens at Hall of Fames.
It's true. It's damn true.
Absolutely. Speaking of incredible stuff, how do we get some good cop moments, Graham?
Sounds good to me.
Go listen to This Good Cop Moment, the King of Wrestling podcast, the number one source for independent wrestling. You can listen to him on all major podcast platforms. If you do listen on Apple Podcasts, go give him a 5-star rating and go follow him on Twitter as well at KOWP Show.
Good. Right, seeing as how guests always go first, Ryan, what is your main good cop moment of the week, sir? Month, year, whatever you want to do.
Well, considering how little time I have the energy to invest in wrestling right now, just because there is a lot going on in wrestling, and honestly, this is a bit of maybe a bad cop moment, but there's too much right now. There's absolutely too much, but I do have my good cop, because the one storyline I am deeply invested in, even though it's goofy and stupid, is the love story between Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell. I love this, because it is such a wonderful, like, sociopathic monster, and then, like, you know, even though she's a heel, she's playing this, like, love-struck teenager kind of character, and I just absolutely adore this storyline. I think it's just it's my favorite thing going on in wrestling right now. It's the only thing. I keep forgetting that NXT's on Tuesday now. So like Wednesday, I'm like, time to watch NXO. Oh. But it's on the network. Oh, I'm sorry. The network for Matt. For Peacock. Us, it's Peacock, which is the worst streaming service I think I've ever used, especially for professional wrestling. It's fine, but at this point, I'm frustrated, so I just end up watching clips anyways. I'm like, whatever, screw it. Because if it's not live, I don't like a lot of non-live wrestling. The live part of wrestling is what makes it exciting. And when NXT went live, it went from my favorite to my extra favorite. It's Dexter and Indy right now are just, I think they're the best things going in wrestling at the moment.
I'm with you on forgetting that it's on Tuesday. And often I'll go and start to watch clips thinking, oh, it was on last night. And then it's like, oh, shoot, it's several days ago. I gotta admit, I have been terrible at trying to keep up with NXT except for very brief highlights, and except for hearing it on Twitter. I heard someone else mention that storyline on Twitter this week, and I was like, they said how good it was as well, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen anything on that based on the highlights. So Matt, I'm gonna step back, and if you've got anything to say, I'm gonna let you go and speak.
I can sum it up in one phrase: chef's kiss.
Yeah, absolutely. It's intriguing. And it reminds me of that's the thing. I won't harp on too long about, you know, Triple H just knows better than Vince. You know, Vince is out of touch, blah, blah, blah. But it reminds me of an old school WWF storyline. It's kind of goofy, but it also makes sense at the same time. It's especially when you get that kind of, you know, where you had Dexter kidnap other guy in the way whose name is escaping me right now.
Is it Creed? Is it Austin Creed or something like that?
No, that's Xavier Woods. I always get them
mixed up. Austin Creed and Xavier Woods, Graham.
Okay, so let's go through the roster. It's Indy Wrestling Hartwell, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, and other guy.
Yeah, anyways, that guy.
So you had that
Austin Theory.
Oh, that's not too far away.
You've got that pulling where you've got the heel faction, and then you've got the tweener that is Dexter Lumis. He's not a face. He's not a heel. He's just awesome. And you've got that kind of pulling at their faction, and you've got Dexter Lumis just like having no idea what to do about the situation. It's fun to me. It's what wrestling should be, fun. And that's what AEW is missing. That's what Raw and SmackDown are missing. Impact's hit or miss. Sometimes it's, you know, you've got guys like Sami Callihan who keep Impact fun, you know, but like, I don't know, I won't go into Impact right now, but it just keeps it fun, and that's what wrestling is supposed to be, and that's what people forget is it's supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be entertainment, and this is entertaining to me.
Matt, if you don't mind, I'd kind of like to do my good cop moment now, because it kind of links in a little bit.
I was hoping you would, Graham, seeing as how host goes last.
There you go. There's a little bit of continuation. So you just talked about Sami Callihan. I want to tweet about one of his tweets this week. It was just one word. It was the word bullshit. Now, we talked about last week.
Graham, your language!
I know, that might be a first for me, as Ryan brought it all out of me. I thought last week we talked about the fact that we were quite well, some of us were concerned about Kenny winning the title. And sure enough, Kenny did get the title. He got the belt. He is the Impact champion. And that was Sammy's response to it. Bullshit. Now, I'm actually kind of interested in this. It was interesting to see the reactions on Twitter. They obviously had the things that we talked about as well. But I do like the side of it. There's a lot of storylines that can go on from here now. There is the talk as well as could they bring in Moxley? And I just realized I left a gap in my notes, so I'm going to do like you did, Ryan. Moxley and that indie wrestler who now wrestles on AEW, Eddie Kingston. Whew. Eddie Kingston, could they bring him in and try and take the title away from Omega? Could they try and screw him over there as well? I'm still interested to see how they're going to go with that. He nearly lost the title this week anyway. He arrived right at the last minute. They managed to get a private jet for him. So they are still building storylines around him. But the other part about the main good cop moment is just Impact Wrestling in general. They've already put out something for Slammiversary, even though it's 3 months away. They put out a video that's called Our World Changes Again, and this really did get people on Twitter talking. There is a picture of Samoa Joe, Okada, Chelsea Green, Mickey James, even after the PR debacle. Somebody said Naito as well. I don't know what Naito looks like, so I'm not sure if that was true. Australian flag. So people are talking about, is that the Iconics perhaps? Yeah. A Mexican flag. Is that Andrade? So they've already got, but the fact that they're having Samoa Joe on there, I assume that means Samoa Joe is definitely going to Impact. I would assume. I think that would be a bit of a tease to put that picture there and then not have him there. And also announced recently, as in this is the last few, we're recording on Friday tonight. This is actually within the last few hours. El Fantasmo from New Japan Pro Wrestling also debuts next Thursday. So I'm really liking the Impact. I'm liking that. I know we weren't that keen on Kenny winning the title possibly, but I like the possibility of the storylines, and I like that possibility, that new group coming in, and they're already building it up for the next 3 months.
So I want to say something about that. My biggest issue with Impact right now is that they have not found a way to have any sort of live presence at the moment. Like, there's no crowd. They don't have wrestlers in the crowd. They don't have. It feels weird sometimes, that utter silence, especially when something crazy is happening. But, you know, they'll get past that, especially, you know, they're based in Nashville. Let's be honest, the South is more likely to open up to fans than the North is at the moment. It's politics 101, but you know, unfortunately that's the situation. As long as they do it carefully, And, you know, unlike AEW's been doing where they're just, you know, oh, there, no, there's only like 100 people here. Bullshit. We can see there's a lot more than 100 people or whatever. You know, there's a lot of people at Day Lewis and they're very close together. Secondly, I like that Impact is the little engine that could right now. They're coming off, they're rebuilding, because when they went from TNA to Impact, a lot of people lost interest in them, and they didn't quite know what they were doing, and just opening up and allowing partnerships with other bigger promotions is going to be beneficial to them. Lastly, Kenny winning the belt, I'm not sold on it. I like the idea of the collector. I think that's a cool persona for Kenny, and Impact allowing that to happen, I think is really cool. However, it falls into my, and this is not trashing AEW, because I really do enjoy AEW. It falls right into my biggest complaint with them, that it is not all Elite Wrestling. It is only members of the Elite Wrestling. It's still so focused on the Bucks and Kenny and Cody that had they done that with a different eight, had they done that with Moxley, had they done that with Kingston, hell, had they done that with Jericho, it wouldn't leave such a bad taste in my mouth. But since it is Kenny, it just feels weird to me. And I'm a big TNA fan. I spent the $10 a month for the weekly TNA pay-per-views back in the day. I loved it because TNA was WCW 2.0. AEW is TNA 2.0. So it's a natural progression of things, because I don't buy into that AEW is WCW, because it's not. It's more like TNA. And I think that it could be a really great partnership. I just don't see it yet. I've rambled.
Was one more partnership that actually got announced today, so much so that I literally saw it a few minutes before I came on air, so I didn't even write this down. There is rumors that they could be talks with WWE as well. So perhaps people, it said people who are not getting on shows on NXT could be making that kind of switch between.
I thought that was with MLW.
Oh, MLW. You're right. My bad. This is what happens when I watch.
I'm trying
to cram for a test in the last 2 hours. I just told Matt before we came on air, I didn't watch any wrestling this week until 2 hours before we recorded. So, hey, busy week. Matt, what about your good cop moment?
Well, between the two, you take
before you fall asleep. I thought we were actually going to have a repeat of what happened actually at the that event that you talked about on the Saturday night, the G1. I thought you were about to fall asleep there.
Graham, between you and Ryan, you've taken my entire good cop section.
Yay! Woo!
Okay, so it's time for my Hall of Fame speech.
I'd like to thank all of the people who brought me to this point in my career. Shut your mouth.
First off,
I will mute you where you stand.
Darren Kirkby himself, Mags. Mags has been instrumental in bringing me to multiple world championships.
I was joking. I've always got more prepared. You know this, Graham. More prepared.
And rest in peace, Joe Nolan.
Mm-hmm. I was going to talk about the MLW NWE link up. I was going to talk about that because there's amazing potential there potentially. But seeing as Graham just stole that bit, I want to talk.
I didn't talk in any detail.
No, that's Matt.
Literally, we're going to have a 5-second good cop moment when you can talk up to 5 minutes. That doesn't sound very Matt Willis-esque to me.
No, so I'm going to. I'm going to talk about more about Impact actually. I want to talk about Kenny Omega winning that title. I actually gave quite a good get out so that Kenny didn't win the championship and everyone was still happy. Whilst I stand by my idea of being better than what Edge did. the fact that I think I bought that idea, to be fair.
You arrogant prick.
Damn right, backup is in the house this week. But there is quite an important thing here. Whoever beats Kenny Omega for that championship is going to be shooting to superstardom.
Okay.
Unless they put it back on Samoa Joe.
So I've thought about this a couple of times. It's unless Kenny, like, unless they pull some nonsense where it's like he loses one of the belt, like he says, you know, well, I'm facing, you're an Impact guy, so I'm not going to put the AEW title on the line, blah, 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 or some crap like that. You know, I think the smart thing to do right now would be to make it so he puts both belts on the line against an Impact star. I think the smart thing to do would be he gets challenged by someone who has a connection to an AEW wrestler. So let's just, random thought. He puts the title on the line against Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona. Just hear me out. The person doesn't matter. So putting the belt on someone like Matt Cardona, now he has a connection to AEW because A, he performed there for a whole 8 minutes. B, you know, anyone who's a former WWE guy probably has a connection to him because they've probably wrestled at some point. You can build a storyline off of that. Or putting the AEW title and the Impact title on someone like Samoa Joe, where he's going to have a connection to a lot of guys because he was in WWE, he was in NXT. I feel like what's going to happen, though, is Kenny's going to drop the Impact world title to Samoa Joe or whatever, and then he's just going to slowly fade back into the AEW side of things. Or he's going to drop the AEW title to someone in AEW and then defend an Impact. And it's just, I really want them to make the belts a combo deal for at least one big crossover. Mm. You know, a crossover for Impact, not a crossover for AEW.
Mm. Bischoff has said the last day or so, he actually fears for Impact once AEW end their association with them. Assuming they do end their association with them, of course, and they're just acquired a company.
That's my fear, is that Tony Khan's gonna play Vince and try to buy out AEW or Impact. Which there are good aspects to that if they did. Think of what Impact Plus could become. It could be essentially AEW Plus. They could pad the fact that they don't have a streaming service, is, you know, they don't have a history. Yeah. But if they pad it with TNA and Impact stuff, you know, they've got a catalog now. The network, the WWE network, wouldn't have existed if it weren't for WCW and ECW's library padding it out. It would have just, it wouldn't have been the same. I got it.
I'm going to take issue with that.
Go for it. Take issue.
I'm going to, because as the quote WWE mark on the show, I will happily defend the fact that WWE has been going since the 60s. They've got plenty of stuff.
Oh, no, I don't disagree with you in any way. However, myself, you know, I can only speak for myself. I would have been 50% less likely to subscribe to the WWE network. The thing that sold me was they were like, you can watch old WCW. You can watch old ECW. You can watch defunct promotions on this. If you took out live pay-per-views. You take out, you know, current live product, I would have still subscribed just for WCW and ECW. I was a WCW guy.
Yes, you were.
I watched WWF. I enjoyed WWF, but and this is probably controversial, but if you take time, you know, time in the same time frame, so say like, you know, the launch of Monday Night Raw, you know, the new generation era of WWF, you had their main, you know, their top guys were like Shawn Michaels and Psycho Sid, you know, or Shawn Michaels and Diesel. You know, those were kind of like your main event guys, whereas WCW was giving a Sting versus Ric Flair. I'm going to take Sting versus Ric Flair over anything that the WWF was doing in the new generation era.
That's a fair comment. I'm not going to respond at this point because that would be infringing on my bad cop moments for the week if I do.
Can I, before we go to speed check, just put one other thought that I heard? I can't remember which podcast I heard it on, but somebody did suggest a great person for Kenny to face and possibly lose the title to, and I would be 100% up for this, Jordan Grace. I
don't think it's going to happen, mainly because she's a champion at the moment.
I don't think it is either, but I would love
mainly, to. Mainly because she's already a champion at the moment, so...
Well, here's the thing with that, too, and this is definitely, I don't think, a controversial statement. AEW doesn't know jack shit about women's wrestling. And they've had one really solid five-star women's match. And were it not for the hardcore aspect of Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
It was a shock value match, but it was a great match. It was a wonderful match, even without the hardcore aspects of it. It was a great match, but that is the only match that stands out from their women's division. To put the AEW world title on Jordan Grace, they would find a monumental way to fuck it up.
Can we move on to some speed check moments?
I think it's a good idea. Okay, so you have up to a minute to talk about anything else good from this week. Ryan, when you're ready, you have a minute starting now.
Anything good? Just anything? Okay, yep. Well, he already started the timer.
Wrestling-related.
Wrestling-related. Okay, I'll just continue my Hall of Fame speech. So, a lot of people have done wonderful things along my career. First and foremost, I want to talk about the fact that they're trying to end Daniel Bryan's career tonight. I think it's a stupid move. But anyways, Good Cop Moments is speed round. Jesus Christ, I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing wrestling related.
It is up to a minute, so that's good. That's fine.
Yeah, up to a minute. So, good things that are happening in wrestling, anything that's not related to wrestling Twitter, WWE, you know, they do things, NXT's great, and Impact's wonderful.
All right, Graham, you have a minute to try and deliver something.
I do, yeah. All
okay,
right,
so. But I will say that's probably the best feature we've ever had from a guest, ever.
Trying to stifle my laughs so it didn't actually infringe on the speed check that was going on. Humberto Carrillo, suicide dive against Sheamus, going over, pushing him over the announcer's desk. I really like that. That was one of the top five moments. Josh Alexander, I was really worried about him, actually. When Ethan Page went across to AEW, I was thinking he was going to get lost in the shuffle. He became the new X Division champion, and he actually has already defended that title. So I'm glad that something has actually came out of this for him as well. I know we talked about the AEW Women's Division. Chris Statlander versus Penelope Ford was a thoroughly enjoyable match, though. I only saw the last 5 minutes of it, because that's all that was on the highlights. Orange Cassidy versus Penta as well. Always good to see Orange Cassidy in there fighting, managing to get his hand just into his pocket. Still love all that stuff. Not tiring of it at all. Paris is bumping too. Tickets are on sale soon as well. I think by the time this episode comes out, that'll be it. And the main short moment I want to include, Mayday, who we know, Matt, he wanted to do his own wrestling show. It was supposed to happen before the pandemic, and then we got cut off. Finally, it's been recorded. Don't know when it's coming out, but really excited for that. When MGB returns, we'll be reviewing it.
Brilliant, Graham. Absolutely brilliant.
It's like he prepared or something.
There will be a second show. Apparently, he made, well, I don't say he made money, but there was money left over somehow. So he's already announced there's going to be a second show too. All right, Matt, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Go. Okay, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, WWE is in talks with LW. It was a speed check moment, I won't find Graham. Conrad Newton calling out Bill Meyer. Who is he? I laughed my ass off at that. He's a wrestling promoter, so I can laugh at him for that. Diesel from View from Top Rope is expecting a baby boy in October. This is fantastic news. He runs a wrestling podcast, it's wrestling related, Graham. But the best thing, of course, is Cody Rhodes' return on Dynamite. Made a big deal about it. They didn't pre-announce it. It was there. Well done. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, sorry. I just feel sick.
That's not Matt Willis.
Oh.
No one's going to believe that came from you at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Oh, something about what you were talking about made me sick.
I did thoroughly enjoy it. It was a well-handled return.
What? Wow, I'm shocked by that.
That's one devil's
advocate to get rid of then straight away.
That's how you book a return. I'm just saying you don't announce it.
I agree. However, it's funny to me, and this is actually not me ripping on Cody for once.
Can I have that in writing?
Yes. I do say nice things about Mr. Rhodes from time to time. I think it's just weird that TNT made a big deal about no more surprise returns. They didn't, you know, that was a thing maybe a month or two ago where TNT didn't like surprises because they can't turn that into ratings. But Cody still gets to do a surprise return. I just think it's a little weird, it's a little backwards, and I understand why TNT wants to promote things. It's the same reason WWE does. If WWE tells us that The Rock is going to be there, more people are going to tune in because The Rock draws money. Us as diehard wrestling fans, we like the surprise. Hardy Boys at 34. You know, was that
33?
You know, huge pop. I lost my G-darn mind when their music hit. Yep. You know, I like how Impact does it, especially with a lot of former TNA and Impact guys now being released over the past year or two. You know, they do it well. Eric Young coming in as the fifth man at Bound for Glory or Slammiversary last year. Slammiversary. Awesome. I like a good surprise, and I hope that AEW continues doing it, and I hope that WWE pulls their head out of their asses and realize that that's what we as wrestling fans want.
Absolutely. I mean, I've proven with all the surprises we got in the Rumble this year, we saw Victoria make a return for the first time in forever. It was amazing and lovely to see. She's the next one to go in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. She should be in years ago, as should Molly Holly have been before this year.
I think Molly Holly, this was actually a good year. WWE, the concept of inducting women into the Hall of Fame is their one downfall when it comes to women's wrestling, because let's be honest, I mean, WWE, you know, especially NXT, has a stacked women's division, and they do utilize them well. I'm not a Bianca Belair fan. Her and Sasha at WrestleMania was great. It was a great match, you know, and it was a great moment, you know, regardless of my feelings towards her.
It was a thoroughly enjoyable match, and and to be fair, you if you don't like a certain character, then you can still appreciate the wrestling for certain. So that's totally valid, Ryan. Totally valid.
Yeah.
Right, should we move on to Badcock, Graham?
Bring it on.
Right, guys, as you all know, that you can get 30 days free with the code GoodCopBadCop on PowerFam.tv. However, don't forget there is an app you can get from both the iOS and the Google Play stores. However, to get the code, you must go onto the website to use it. Otherwise, you will not get the discount. Once you've done that, go back to the app and you can watch your heart's content. 30 days free, code GoodCopBadCop.
Right then, we've looked at the good. Time to look at the bad. Ryan, do you have some bad cop for us? What's your main thing?
So, my bad cop moment is, it's kind of a generalized bad cop just because we did see it. We saw a debut recently. For Impact, and being he's 7 feet tall, and you can't teach that. I'm actually happy for him. I think, you know, he's pulled himself out of a pretty terrible situation that he found himself in, and he's reinventing himself. But my bad cop moment is people expecting things from superstars who WWE underutilized and they didn't know how to use them. Oh, but now they're here, so they're going to do all of the things that we wanted them to do. With spring cleaning version 2 this year, you know, we saw Joe, the Iconics, you know, a lot of other people were released, and everyone immediately jumps on the, oh, well, AEW is going to do so much better with them. Well, Zack Ryder lasted 8 seconds.
Getting worse. You were 8 minutes a minute ago. Getting worse.
Rusev sucked in WWE. He sucks in AEW. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to be a main event star now. It's like, no, because he's still not that good. Sean Spears. I loved him as Ty Dillinger. I love him as Sean Spears. It would have been great if he got a main event run in AEW. He didn't. He's not gonna.
He's popping up dark, and that's not saying much.
Yep. And you know, they were all, you know, they're on main event, so they should just release them. Well, sorry guys, but dark and dark elevated are pretty much AEW's version of main event. It is what it is. It may be a tough pill to swallow, but this whole concept of, oh, that WWE didn't know what to do with them. Oh, but now that they're free, they're going to go to AEW, and AEW is going to make them a star. Impact's going to make them a star. Impact's going to make people stars because Impact knows the value of wrestlers that they sign. They don't just sign people willy-nilly like AEW does and like WWE does. They look at people and go, we have something for them. We know how to use them. But a lot of those guys, Joe made his name in TNA. Joe is just going to reinsert himself in the position he was already in. If he went to AEW, he'd have one program with Cody or one program with the Bucks or Kenny or whatever. Jericho, they would squash maybe him, and he would go down to the mid-card. That's what will happen. Because AEW isn't looking necessarily to build new stars. They're looking to do wrestling the way they think that the internet wants it. And it's working, but as someone who's just kind of I'm a wrestling fan. I don't really give a shit who wrestles where. I just want to see good wrestling. That's what I'm not getting. I'm getting prepackaged. Oh yeah, we brought this. Matt Sydal. I bleed Air Boom. Him and Kofi were brilliant together. He shows up, and it's like, holy crap, he's here. And now he's kind of just tagging with his brother on Dark. That's a main event star right there. You've got Matt Sydal, one of the, if not the best high flyer of his generation, and you're putting him on Dark. No, you should have him doing main events against Penta. You should have him doing main events with other high flyers. You should have a cruiserweight division, which you don't. But then, anyways, bad cop moment. People having higher expectations of former WWE wrestlers who are just going to get stuck in the mid-card wherever they go.
We touched on this, I think it was last week, maybe have been the week before, when the Edge releases happened, didn't we? We touched on it. And the maths is ridiculous. I mean, think about it. WWE got four main brands, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, NXT UK. WWE have, as of the releases from the company, have 91 wrestlers signed on. AEW have 93 signed on before signing anyone else. And they've only got Dynamite. Because like Ryan says, Dark and Dark Elevator Shaft, is those two are just internet shows. They're not main event things on a network. It's kind of, you can't fit 93 people onto one show.
To be fair, they do try and do it each week on AEW Dark. They get pretty close.
They do have more matches on Dark than they have WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
That's the other thing. It's like, we've got 14 explosive matches on Dark, and it's like, you can't... Okay, you've got 14 matches on YouTube, and you can't give your women more than 3 minutes on Dynamite?
That's what I mean by explosive. It's a short, and it's a bang, and that's it, done.
Put it this way, if you were to watch Dynamite, if you were to watch Dark, I put it on once, and after the third match, went to the bathroom, came back, it was match 7.
I don't want to know any more details about that.
I was gone 5 minutes. That was it.
Epic dump.
I was gone 5 minutes. I'm like, what the? How? And because they were literally 30-second squashes. I'm like, what's the point? That is nothing.
You're absolutely
right, Ryan. You're absolutely right. Just because they can, then they should necessarily.
Yeah, and that's the issue right now. Is if AEW had a second televised show that was furthering story, do either of you watch Botchamania?
I've caught episodes, yes.
I'm a big fan of Botchamania because I think it's absolutely hysterical. I just think the way that Matthew edits this stuff together is just brilliantly fun. It's my kind of humor because it's stupid, and he's clearly in his, you know, late 30s, early 40s, so he's got this old school, you know, it's Simpsons jokes, it's Seinfeld jokes, it's just very funny to me. The fact that he has an entire segment dedicated to the fact that Excalibur and Taz don't even bother to try on commentary during Dark, I think, while it's funny, it's a detriment to the performers because you're not even paying attention to the wrestling. You're like, what funny shit is Taz going to say? I like Taz as a commentator, but it is a detriment to the performers that they don't take that show seriously. And I have friends who like it because it's kind of casual, you know, the commentary, but yeah. I'm a you know, I'm a Mike Tenay guy. I'm a Mauro guy. I'm a Tony Schiavone in WCW guy. I'm a Jim Ross during the Attitude Era guy. You can do so much for a wrestling match if you, as the commentator, sell what's going on the ring as much as the wrestlers are. And Taz laughing for 15 minutes at a dumb joke is not selling the match. And that's why they're all 30-second squash matches. I feel like if the commentators were, like, you know, selling these matches and we got, like, 4 or 5 really solid matches on Dark, I would be much more likely to watch it.
Fair comment. Graham, what is your main bad cop moment for the week?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet, actually. We mentioned it earlier, Chelsea Green, obviously that story broke with the posting a picture, not crediting it, then getting rid of the tweet, then blocking the person, etc., etc. But it actually kind of ended in a good way, so I'm going to, although it's a bad cop moment, I'm going to focus on the end. Out Salsa Boy did tweet, addressing everything, Chelsea Green and myself have been in contact, and the issue has been resolved, and I wish her the best for the future. I will be recording an episode of At Faces Feels Cast in the near future, and will clear up the timeline of events to make sure everyone is crystal clear on what actually happened. I will not be disparaging anyone's name or dragging. I will simply be addressing the situation as a whole. So obviously, pretty quick, I saw the story break, because it just happened to be around my lunchtime, and oh my gosh, there was a lot of fire from everybody, names being I'm kind of glad that... Obviously, it wasn't a good situation. It could have been handled much better from both sides. But I'm kind of glad that it's been finished. It's resolved. They are talking to each other. And we'll hear the true story, what actually happened coming up. But I think probably people have possibly learned from this. But go ahead. Give credit to the people who are people who are doing fan art, people who are doing music for you, people who are doing any of that stuff. Go ahead. Just give them the credit. They're not asking for very much. All they're asking is that you credit what they're actually producing, which I think is... perfectly reasonable.
It's not absolutely unreasonable. Not unreasonable at all. I think it's a perfectly reasonable option.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
Right. Mine's not... Well, it's sort of straightforward. It's sort of not. We talked a bit earlier about how about Impact haven't got anyone in there. It's not going to be that long, Graham, for his sake. It's about Impact, like, no one in attendance at the moment, and AEW have got, quote, 100 people in attendance, even though mainly in fact the JR's commentary, the ringside area emptied so that they could actually go watch Cody and on top of a bus, basically. Although why he didn't throw off the bus was a bit more, because that would be a much better effect for putting in a figure four leg lock on top of the bus. We were referee up there for no reason. It made no sense. This point I want to get to is apparently the brand of WWE are going back on the road sooner rather than later, and this sooner is because apparently, according to everyone's favourite Dave Meltzer, the current plan for NXT to go back into running live show events late in the third quarter of 2021. But Raw and SmackDown to go back on the road as soon as July. Because they want to be AEW back on the road, apparently. I don't think you need... Unless you need to get out of the Thunderdome because your residency is up, I don't think you need to worry, Vince. It's really weird for me to say that Vince has done a better job of handling the pandemic than AEW, in my personal opinion. Not having any fans at the shows has been obviously safer. I just don't like this. This is why I'm back on in a week. I like the fact that if Vince or anyone in the company for that matter is thinking about pushing ahead before it's safe to do so, yeah, I'm not comfortable with that.
I'm with you on that one. I don't think it's a smart move. You know, keep it, especially if, you know, because even if they lose the Thunderdome, they've still got the CWC set up. You know, they can still do their events there. 90% of their wrestlers live in the Tampa Bay area and the Orlando area anyways.
Yeah.
There's really no reason to push this, especially because you're still limited to where you can go, because there are going to be a lot of states that aren't going to allow you to seat fans in the arena. And if they do, you're still at a limited capacity and you're still putting your crew at risk because they're still staying at hotels. They're still stopping for food. They're still doing this, that, and the other thing. You're running a very big risk to everyone involved. And it's, I don't think it's a smart move.
I did see that MLW are selling tickets for their return in July, and it says that their capacity is going to be 25%. That's what the current rules are, and they did mention that the people would be spread out through the arena. I don't know what other venues have sort of been looked at or if they're even at that stage yet. But
I just think it's too early to start saying July. I know that the vaccination program has really picked up in America and is really going quite well, and I know that numbers are going down. I don't know how quick they're going down compared to the United Kingdom, which is zero in a lot of places in the United Kingdom at the moment, which is fantastic. Whether it stays there, we'll have to wait and see, I suppose. I still think it's a little early for that. That's just my personal opinion. Right, Ryan, bad cop speed shake. You got anything for me, buddy? Up to a minute.
Oh, God, I can talk about bad stuff all day long.
You got a minute.
You know, I can just say wrestling Twitter over and over again for 60 seconds.
Go ahead.
Wrestling Twitter, wrestling Twitter, wrestling Twitter. It's... There are, you know, unfortunately, a lot of negative things going on. Obviously, any fans in arenas, and this goes for the indies as well, you know, too many people too close together. I think the collective WrestleMania weekend in general was a shit show. I think that there were way too many people way too close together. I will say Bad Cop is, you know, depending on where they go with it, you know, Kenny holding the belt and not showing up on AEW with the Impact World title, that was a stupid move. The entirety of the Mickey James situation where they sent her shit in a trash bag, bad.
technically speaking, though, didn't he run to Impact to seek refuge from AEW because of what happened in the match with Moxley?
I don't know. All I know is that he had the AEW belt, but he didn't have the Impact or TNA belts when he was on Dynamite. And I understand, realistically, it's because, you know, AEW is live and Impact is taped. And I'm sure there's some reason backstage why he didn't. I just thought it was kind of stupid. You know, if you're going to be the belt collector, let's see your belts. And where's your AAA Mega Championship? Like, But neither here nor there. It's, you know, it's the same reason why I don't understand if he's defending it on AEW television. Why doesn't Moxley come out with the IWGP US title every night? Just throwing that out there.
Why hasn't he stripped of that still? It's been a year for him, so... All right, Graham, your speed check. You're up for a minute for Bad Cop. What you got for me, sir?
I don't really have a full minute, but that's fine. Nia slipping on the water. I was like, oh my God, it was like ridiculous. It's like 2021. This felt like 1980s. I felt like I was watching a kids' TV show. And then just to follow up with it, the next moment, highlight moment was them throwing rotten tomatoes into the ring at Elias and whoever his name is, Jackson Riker or whatever the heck his name is. I did watch a little bit of NXT UK, even though I didn't have much time to watch stuff. They did announce a 5-person gauntlet to face Kaylee Ray. I think that's the champion. I don't know. Whoever the UX champion is. They announced it was against Ginny, Isla Dawn, Zaya Brookside, Danny Luna, and Amelia McKenzie. They're really going to call Millie McKenzie Amelia McKenzie? I didn't realize that was the name change. I have to admit, I'm not a big fan of that. But I think it said on the Twitter caption as well, at Millie McKenzie afterwards. So I was like, what is the point? I don't like that. If you're going to go for something different, change the whole thing.
Fair enough, Greg. Fair enough.
Didn't like it. All right, what you got, Matt?
Okay, what have I got? Okay. Charlotte Flair being reinstated 1 week later. Yeah, that was worth it for that storyline, wasn't it? No longer invested in the storyline. Couldn't care less about it. I said this earlier, JR's commentary just feels stale now. I love JR in the Attitude Era. I loved him in the early part of the 2000s, but it just seems not as good now. I gave it my best shot this week. Didn't quite work. And according to the man himself, Sting is set to start wrestling on Live Dynamite. No more no more matches that are pre-recorded. Because the last one he did took 2 days to record. He's still banged up from it, apparently. But Tony Khan wants him to wrestle on Dynamite itself now. I'm like, dude, you're 61 and you're going to become the AEW World Champion at some point. Nah, don't do it.
No, you're not, and you're going to owe me and Brainbuster Boy, can't remember which one it was, $10 each, I think. Was it?
Both of them.
Oh, it was both? Oh, they both took you up on that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they both done. Yeah, you already lost one bet. I already got 3 Coney's hot dogs coming my way when I get the chance.
Wait, yeah. Like actual... Graham, tell me, what is on a Coney-style hot dog?
I don't think there's anything specific, is it? Don't you just choose what you want? And, well, probably nothing for the official one, like the one that they probably eat for the competition with chestnut. It's probably just a hot dog. That's probably it. There's probably nothing on it, is there?
So you're just going to eat some plain-ass hot dogs?
Well, I'm probably going to put some ketchup on. If I can get some onions, I'd like some onions on mine. But I think as there's 3 that I won, I'm pretty sure I'd give one to the boys as well. And I know they're not going to want onions on theirs.
It's topped with sauce, Graham, and sometimes other toppings. Apparently,
hot sauce? On a hot dog?
No. I said a meat sauce.
Oh, a meat sauce. Oh, sorry.
A hot meat sauce.
Oh, okay.
Basically, it's a chili dog.
It came up on my video on the Facebook this week. I heard this from Rob from the Ugly Ducklings. And he posted a picture on Facebook, which was a chili dog. And really it was just a hot dog with 2 ice cubes on it. Terrible pun. But Mason had been asking for a hot dog, so I actually did go ahead and film it, and that came up. And the look on his face, it took him about 20 seconds to figure out why it was a chili dog. It was priceless. Came up on my
I remember that video.
It was dumb, but I enjoyed it. All right, shall we get to our open agenda segment?
That sounds like a good idea, sir.
What is up? What is up? I'm Bishop TW Takes, and I'm here to let you know about my podcast, Terrible Wrestling Takes. On here, I summarize wrestling how I see it, and more importantly, as it's given to us. I also discuss some of your terrible and not so terrible wrestling takes, and whether you're a good cop, a bad cop, or even a criminal, feel free to subscribe where all podcasts are found, and follow me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time.
Right, sir. This is open agenda time. This is where our guest can speak on a subject of anything of his choosing that is not wrestling related, if he chooses. So, Ryan, what you got for us?
But keep it under an hour if you can, please.
Okay. So I got 1 hour. Right. I'm sorry, 59 minutes. Under an hour.
To be fair, Graham, those are your words.
Yep. Those are your words. So I'm actually going to, for those listening at home, Graham just put on an hour countdown for me. So I'm going to, Matt, this is more down your alley than it will, for Graham. So I apologize, Graham. Matt, did you happen to see Sony's State of Play yesterday?
I did not see it.
It was a huge waste of time. It was 15 minutes of the new Ratchet and Clank, and then they announced Among Us and a Subnautica sequel. It was a massive, massive waste of time.
All of which we knew about.
Yep.
So that was the point then.
Now the big announcement from Sony I'm waiting for is make your fucking console available for purchase.
Anywhere.
And you know, I'm not giving Microsoft a pass on this because I understand there's semiconductor shortages due to the global pandemic. But, you know, the fact that both companies have a massive new console available and they're unavailable for purchase kind of drives me a little crazy. I was lucky enough to get a Series X, but it's a nightmare for most of my friends. And this does correlate to the fact that I've had this conversation a couple times recently, and like we're doing now, currently Graham is in an undisclosed location in the southern United States. Matt is in an undisclosed location on the eastern seaboard of England.
Virginia does not seem like southern. I always find that really difficult. I don't consider myself in a southern state, but I know I am.
Yet the capital of Virginia was the capital of the Confederacy.
I understand that, but it just, yeah.
I'm in an undisclosed location in the northeast quadrant of the United States. We are able to all sit down and record this podcast together. And this is my good cop moment of the global COVID-19 pandemic. Is this has shown me, and this has shown the world, that 90% of jobs do not need a fucking office building.
Yep.
They can be done remotely. We're not in the dial-up era anymore. We all, for the most part, have high-speed broadband connections. We can do our work at home. I can't because I have to pick shit up for a living. But I've been, you know, curious about the options that are available for me out there. And so many companies are still focused on coming to the office. Mm-hmm. But why? Think of how much money you can save. Think of how fewer global pandemics we could have if you allowed people to work in the comfort of their own home. And guess what? Nobody's going to be late for work anymore because your commute is about 8 feet to the couch. That is my good cop global pandemic moment of the pandemic.
Unfortunately, my job, I can't work from home.
There's a lot that can. And they've also figured out that a lot of businesses are paying retail space for things that are really expensive and is totally useless. And they don't need it. And I like the idea of you never being late. I'm currently on a hybrid model of teaching right now where some people are in the building and some people are not. The number of people who are still late to class is amazing. But it works for some people who are motivated enough. I guess it's different when you're at school because you don't get paid. If you did that when you're in a job, you'd lose your job pretty quickly.
Well, there are
a lot of jobs that can definitely be done in a non-traditional setting where people just haven't realized it before. It would really help with the carbon footprint as well, trying to cut down on those greenhouse gases because not people won't be traveling as much. It'll make
When I was younger, you know, I had trouble waking up in the morning. I think a lot of people did when they were younger.
Yeah.
You know, as an adult, tomorrow is Saturday. I don't have to work. I'm probably still going to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go, why the fuck am I awake right now? I could be sleeping.
Relatable moment.
You know,
I have to work tomorrow morning.
I know. That's why we're recording Friday. And in fact, you took on an extra podcast. You took on that instead of this one, so we had to switch days. Oh, you know this is being videoed, right? I can easily grab this clip and post it. I already posted one clip.
I know.
True.
I know, isn't it?
True.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv. Good.
Bad. Right, guys, it's time to hear from you, our fans, with the Fan Cop Moments of the Week. This is where we put out a tweet earlier in the week and look for the best cop moments and the worst cop moments of the week. Graham is still just filing them into order. What? So I will go first with one of them, Graham. How about that?
I thought I put hashtag Fan Cop Moments. I guess I didn't this week, so I can't find it. Oh, well. Never mind. Yeah, it's all on you right now.
Okay, I will do that. I've also just sent it to your DMs. Okay, so the first one out of the blocks is from at JamesWillis86. My best cop moment of the week was finding the classic WWE Originals album on Spotify with Stone Cold Steve Austin's little segments throughout. It is actually a very good album, to be fair.
All right, I found it, Matt. I searched best cop moment. That worked as well. High five, Tom, at high five, Tom. Good cop was the SCU promo on the books from Dynamite, and his bad cop moment was Bateman's promo on Ring of Honor taking time away from the LFI versus Violence Unlimited Brawl. Dang it, I forgot to watch Ring of Honor. All right, I'll have to do that after we finish recording.
Indeed, indeed. I'm going to go specifically to Void, at the Void Podcast. Good cop moment of the week. We launched a website, which is actually a very good website. Well done, Micah, for some good articles already. Mm-hmm. And bad cop, India continued rising COVID cases. Yes, that's not good. Not good at all. Bit of NXT India starting up soon. Not for a while, not for now.
Yep. At Five Nerds Go, best cop moment, Ryan actually podcasting.
Yeah, boy!
Good cop, Tolly memes that will live forever, and there's some good pictures of some of the classic ones. But sad cop moment, yeah, him leaving podcasting. I would have to agree with that.
From Mickey Pellegrini at Dying Format, good cop, Cody returned. Bad cop, he didn't return to win all the titles. He did return, and as I mentioned, it was a good cop moment. I thought he returned. Yes.
Radio Techers, your other partner. I was sitting on my couch when a small gnat landed on my nose. I guess my reflexes took off faster than I could think, so I ended up slapping myself full force in the face. Hashtag bad cop moment. I think next week, I don't know, Matt, I was going to ask you about this one. I normally specify these are supposed to be wrestling related. I'm actually enjoying some of the non-wrestling related, so we'll just leave it open, I think, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Where are we going next with this one? Scrolling back up. We've got one from Chris, at Chris, double underscore BFC. He was IWGP Chris. He changed his username. He does it every week, it feels like. Beat Herder 2021 cancelled. Worst cop moment for him. Unfortunate. Never a good one for him to get cancelled.
Bishop TW Takes at TW Takes Pod. Best cop moment, promo code GCBC 25%. 25, sorry. When checking out at twtakespodcast.com/TWTs for 25% off. I do not know if that promo code is legit. GCBC 25. Hashtag worst cop moment for US listeners only, but there is an EU fulfillment through TW Takes. I think that's the link to his latest edition of his podcast. A little bit of self promotion there from Bishop.
And as well as having an EU code, we need a UK code because we're Brexit now.
I got one other one, unless you found any more.
From Chaos Theory Podcast.
Yeah, go ahead.
A good cop moment, finally having a date to spend with my wife alone and getting a pedicure for the first time. Bad cop, Wurtz, or however you spell his name, being a fucking dumb C. I won't say that word in the podcast. I don't care. You can try and trip me up. I'm not doing it.
All right. I put in the original post, this week's guest will be at Nish Guy, so this is my best cop moment.
And Ryan responded with, yeah, you better lower your expectations. What's those effects?
I don't know. I think we had a good show personally so far. And now it's time to get even better, and it's time to go to Devil's Advocate.
Yes.
Good. Bad.
Hey, I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And we host the Game Junkies podcast.
A show by gamers for gamers.
Where we bring you our gaming opinions and our personal reviews.
Including Mass Effect, Metal Gear Solid, Kingdom Hearts 3, and yes, even Fallout 76. We also play Dungeons & Dragons, where we derail Matt every chance we get.
Listen to us, the Game Junkies, every other Saturday, exclusively on Visionaries Global Media.
And we're out of here.
Boom.
Good! Bad!
Graham, I've done everything else. You can introduce this one.
Everyone knows the rules. Let's get on with it. Do you want to go first or second, Ryan?
Well, I have to have one for each of you, correct?
Hopefully, yeah.
So should I do one, then you do one, then I do one?
You can do it however you like.
You can deliver both first, or you can receive first if you like.
I'm going to do one first, and then I'm going to receive. Because right, I'm a giver. I'm a giver before I'm a taker.
I feel somewhat threatened all of a sudden. Right, okay.
Go ahead. Who are you giving your pleasure to first?
I will give my pleasure to Graham first, okay. Because my one for Matt is horrible, and I am excited about doing it. So, Graham...
Does that mean I get a softball?
I don't know. Graham, is that short for anything? Grammathy? Grammathy. So Graham, there has been talk, renewed talk, about WWE having a women's only show. Obviously, we don't think this will actually happen, but say it were. Graham, defend if WWE converted SmackDown to a women's show. That would mean that Raw could only feature male competitors.
God, I asked for a softball. I got one. We already know that Raw's too long with 3 hours, and they don't have enough talent to fill it. You ship all the top men across. You ship Roman Reigns across. You ship all those guys across. You actually have enough to have a legit 3-hour show. You then have all the top women who appear on a 2-hour show as well. You actually set up something groundbreaking to me. Actually, sounds like a pretty good suggestion, unless I'm missing something. I would be totally on board with that.
Total softball.
Yeah, that's a.
I was hoping it would lead to an argument of more like, you know, oh, if the men have the, you know, oh, it's men only then. Oh, that's sexist. But, you know, oh, there's a women only show. So why? I look at it like, you know, obviously they're not the same company. At least I don't think they are. But New Japan and Stardom. New Japan's only dudes. Stardom's only chicks.
Uh-huh.
It works.
Well, Matt, I don't have anything to talk to you about in the bonus section now. All right, Ryan, are you ready for your Devil's Advocate?
Sure.
All right. Ryan, your Devil's Advocate is, my proudest moment is in wrestling is having had the second best wrestling podcast. Called the Blade Job Show.
Who's the first? I need to know who the first. I'm happy to be second place to the Good Cop, Bad Cop podcast wrestling because they have perfected everything that I set the boundaries for.
I think he missed the last thing you said.
Young whippersnappers who stole your name.
He missed that last bit.
I was being a dick because I set it up to make you think it was the second best podcast, but really it was the second best podcast called The Blade Job Show. I left a little pause in there to make you think that was the end of it, but then really it was to send you down a totally different line. Right, hey, I got a different one for you. I have a backup one. Do you want to do the backup one instead?
What?
Go ahead. I just wanted to be a dick on one. All right, here's the second one then. With Beyond Wrestling, let me try again. Beyond Wrestling returning to, I hope it's called the Eagle Center, is definitely a step backwards for them.
First and foremost, it is the White Eagle, and this is a huge step back from them. Signature Series brought Beyond Wrestling to its roots. It brought them back to what made them so popular in the first place. Studio tapings with wrestlers as the fans, because real fans suck.
I actually
genuinely agree with that. I really like their studio taping setting. I thought Signature Series was a lot of fun. It is the White Eagle.
Are you going to be at that event next month?
No. Okay. I will not go to a live event right now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Period. I might watch on independentwrestling.tv.
If there was no issues with COVID or anything, would you be in at that event?
Probably.
Okay, I figured that would be the reason for not going, but it's nothing to do specifically with Beyond. Yeah, okay.
Right then, Ryan, come out here, big boy.
Now, I put a lot of thought into this. Mainly because I like torturing Matt, and I like making him say things that he doesn't want to say. Just because I'm a horrible human being. Matt, is that short for anything?
Yes.
Matthew.
Okay, Mattery. So, Mattery. Finn Balor is the worst professional wrestler to ever grace the squared circle and is incredibly unattractive to both men and women alike.
Well, I, Matthew James Willis, can perfectly say that, because Finn Balor... He hurt his neck, he hurt his collarbone, he took weeks, took months off, and found it's like, no real man does that. And let's face it, he's married now, so he's not available to anybody anyway, so what's the point of Finn Balor? There's no point to him.
Oh, that was beautiful for time as well.
He hurt his shoulder, it wasn't his collarbone.
You'd think somebody in the hospital would know the difference, right?
I'm a chef, not a doctor!
You're like the anti-McCoy.
Right then. Right.
Okay, here's the serving of the day. You're going to get collarbone of lamb.
Right. Right then. Right, the thing is, you can bet me. I'm going to... Okay. your devil's advocate is...
I want to... Hold on. Before you do this, I want to point out that the first time I was devil advocated, it was... Shawn Michaels is better than Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
And I believe for Scott, you made him say like the Undertaker sucked.
Something on those lines.
So anyways.
Okay. So, your devil's advocate is Shawn Michaels. I'm joking. your devil's advocate is Mark Henry losing 80 pounds of weight is pathetic. I want sexual chocolate, not skinny chocolate.
Look, at the end of the day, more cushion for the pushing is better. Who wants a skinny Mark Henry? I want full fat, full muscle, all the way. I am not looking... You know what I want? The power top.
He's down to 310 pounds. I'm so impressed.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
He might as well be Kate Moss. Hey. I mean,
He wants one more match before to properly retire. So he walked away. He did a good chance to have a goodbye match. So yeah.
The fact that he did.
Disappointed, Matt. I was trying to predict what your devil's advocate was going to be, so I deliberately stayed away from Jay White because I figured we were both going to do a devil's advocate involving Jay White. I feel kind of bad that you didn't. Now I should have gone.
Hold on, guys. I think we have something to talk about real quick. You say that Mark Henry wants one more match?
Mm.
There's another person who needs at least one more match. And a couple of years ago, the infamous fake-out retirement with the stunning salmon-colored suit. That swerve was against John Cena. John Cena, Mark Henry, That's a WrestleMania. Fuck it. Fuck WrestleMania. That's a SummerSlam match. The two of them one-on-one.
I'd buy that.
I'd love that match. I would absolutely love that match. And that gives you the opportunity to open up a final feud for Cena as well. He has his match with Mark Henry. It finishes. Boom, someone's music hits, comes out, beats the fuck out of Cena. Boom, we get, you know, the Cena feud going into WrestleMania next year.
Hmm.
Book it, Vince, you coward.
Well, it's quite well.
Matt and I trade devil's advocate, though, could you, since we don't get the blade job as frequently as we used to, could you give us an update on Jay White?
Well, let me check my prepared notes right here. Okay, let's see, paragraph 2, paragraph 3, hold on, it's in the appendix, bag of dicks.
Ah, okay, so no change then. Just wanted to make sure.
I mean, to be fair, I still stand by, I just don't like Jay White. I also have no idea what's happening in New Japan right now. Zero idea what's happening in that promotion. I can't even keep track of what's going on stateside with wrestling. I don't have time for New Japan.
Yep. Matt, are you receiving or giving first?
I don't know. He's doing some weird shit right now.
Matt, I can't see you. You're only the last person who... he's moving all around the place. Yeah. What the hell is he doing?
I don't know. I'm curious.
See now. Do we need... Is it washing significant for this devil's advocate in the background?
My battery's about to die.
Oh, okay. This had better stay in. This had better make the edit.
With it, fuck.
I want a raw, unedited episode this week.
Not happening. You put
me to bed. I'll just release the whole episode now as bonus material.
Okay, Graham. What's your devil's advocate for me?
Your devil's advocate... Oh, hold on. I was looking for you because you disappeared, so I wasn't sure what was going on. Oh, that's right. Now I remember what your devil's advocate is. All right, your devil's advocate is, Matt, Soupgate was my deliberate attempt to end the Blade Job show.
What do you mean deliberate? What do you mean attempt? It succeeded. Blade Job is no more because of me. I've closed down more podcasts than I've appeared on, Graham. Sometimes I haven't got to appear on a podcast. That's a tweet about it, and it gets closed down. Soupgate was, without a doubt, my finest moment of absolute destruction. Mwah! Chef's kiss from the chef.
Perfect for time. Well done.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Just thinking of the word Soupgate makes me laugh now. Just the word.
Oh, sorry, Ryan.
So, I gotta go. Something in my eye. I don't know.
Well, Graham, your devil's advocate is Ryan being inducted into the Good Cop, Bad Cop Hall of Fame is ridiculous. Only one person deserves to be entered first, and that is me, Graham.
Well, obviously, I came up with a whole idea. We tried to think of something when MGB went a little off the rails for a little bit, so we came up with a whole format. Heck, basically, I came up with a whole format in about 30 minutes. Did I steal most of it from a BBC radio show? Oh, you betcha. But yeah, since that came, if it wasn't for that, then nothing, none of this would be happening anyway. So obviously, I should have gone in first, followed by you.
I'm Vince McMahon. Plug. You know what? We're gonna have a WWE Hall of Fame. You know, first inductee, me. Fuck all of them. I win. There's three of us here right now. Coming from the only Hall of Famer, and also might I add, I am a two-time Five Nerds Go year-end award winner.
Yeah.
You are.
You should absolutely be in the Good Cop, Bad Cop Hall of Fame. But not until you're dead.
He might be dead by the time I actually induct him. It's my choice, not anyone else's. But
But on a serious note, Ryan, without you, Good Cop, Bad Cop wouldn't be a thing. So that's why you're the first inductee, dude.
Do I get a ring anytime soon? I mean,
you get a check. Months.
No double entendres, please.
No, you get a check, and it's paid for out of Graham's personal account.
Oh, he's a teacher. He makes a ton of money.
It's $5 and a £10 gift voucher to Arby's.
Ooh, I do have an Arby's like right down the street, and they have meats.
There we go.
Yeah, just a little information for the two of you. The chef in the Arby's commercials is often played by H. John Benjamin, the same man who plays Bob on Bob's Burgers and Archer on Archer. He is from Worcester, Massachusetts, not England.
Huh.
Awesome.
So, you know, there's a little information about a thing that I happen to know.
I know at one point, I should mention this now. I know, Ryan, you're also the only, much to Matt's chagrin right now, you're the only person to have appeared on, with the exception of myself, Mason, and Jackson, the only person to have appeared on every season of MGB Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, so we will keep
we've
that
going.
We've
got to schedule some sort of appearance for season 4 as well to keep that.
I will always make time to keep that record going.
I only appeared on series 1, and after that, I didn't need to anymore because I had my own show. So. I only have one wrestling
show. As much as Matt hates to admit it, I am the one who inspired young Mason to even want to do a podcast.
Yes.
And he wasn't even allowed to listen to mine.
Yeah.
And the thing is that Graham didn't even believe in the idea until he got a presentation.
I thought it was a throwaway comment. I mentioned it to Mason as a joke and didn't think anything of it. But yeah, that boy, it took it in, fermented in his head, and then a couple of weeks later, he had the whole thing planned out. But yeah, amazing. You never realize the effect certain words can have, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. And that certainly was a good comment. Yeah, I was quite happy listening to podcasts. I had no aspirations to make a podcast at all. So yeah, you started off quite a few careers with that whole chain reaction from Matt starting and then Darren starting and then others starting as well. But yeah, that one comment definitely started off a lot of people on wrestling podcasts, but also part of that wrestling Twitter community that's just so much fun to be part of. I know we talked about the negative aspects already, but we have a great laugh with some of those people who different podcasts we've been on for sure.
The block and the mute button are a wonderful thing on Twitter. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, and I won't name names. A lot of people that we all consider friends on wrestling Twitter, I have muted. Because I can't do it anymore. I can't. The negativity is too much.
Wow.
I'm 35 years old. I need...
And the rest.
Positivity in my life. Because the world, and feel free to leave this in, the world is a very negative place. And the things that make you happy should make you happy, not pissed off. So, you know, no offense to a lot of people, but if you piss me off, I'm not going to unfollow you. I'm not going to block you because I still want to interact with you, but I don't need to see your negativity. And you get muted.
That's why you never responded to Jackson's request to appear on JGB.
He is so negative on Twitter. I mean, the mouth on that boy. Like, Jesus Christ.
We've discussed this on the Blade Job show. I mean, how much of a mouth Jackson had gone. And we discussed this. It was fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's too much. Absolutely too much. I just can't do it. You know, his sexist views on women's wrestling are just they're people too, Jackson. They're people too. I'm sorry.
I've missed him so much. Okay, Ryan, why don't you tell everybody out there listening where they should be, although having just said that you want, they can mute pretty much everybody. Where can they follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at Nishguy. That's NISHGUY. And that's pretty much it, because I don't do anything else. However, I do have, this is the first time talking about it on a podcast, and this is something that I want to bring to other podcasts. This is something I'm going to be going, you know, hopefully I need to get this out there. And for the dozens and dozens of Good Cop, Bad Cops fans.
Thank you, Mankind.
I have written a pilot for a television series based around the world of professional wrestling. This came at the worst possible time, because there is a television show about professional wrestling coming out called Heels, starring Mr. Stephen Amell. But this is not that. This is a passion project that I've been working on for a long time. And the reason I want to start getting this out there is because I don't want to sell it to a corporate production factory that's just going to say, okay, we've got this property, let's make it, whatever, who cares? I want this to get out to the people who can actually do it justice. Whether this is Tony Khan in AEW, whether this is whoever the fuck runs IWTV, I have no idea. You know, I want this to get to the people who want to produce a comedy based on professional wrestling and do it justice. This is less the wrestler and heels and more community based in a professional wrestling school. That was the inspiration I had towards this project, was what if the insanity that was Dan Harmon's community, but instead of a community college, it was a professional wrestling school. The pilot script has been written. Matt, you've seen it. Graham, you've seen it. I think it's something that needs to be seen, and I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. So if you're listening to this and you have a connection to a major wrestling promotion or just a lot of money lying around, this is a thing. Unfortunately, with my real world job and my real world life, it has taken the back seat for the moment, but this is something that I want to get done. It's something I want to get made, and I need the right people interested in it. So, obviously, I know Mr. Tony Khan. I know you're a big fan of this show right here, Good Cop, Bad Cop. If you're listening, call me. We'll do lunch. We'll figure it out. You know, I'm not asking for much. $200,000-$300,000 up front, you know, and we can make this happen. And also, just because Matt won't say it.
Oh, did you read Chris Deezer's fan cop moments out? I just didn't realize.
I did. He didn't put that in.
Oh, he didn't put that one in. That's right. I said you should, and he said he would, and then he didn't. Yeah, that's right.
Way to go, Chris. Way to go.
Yeah, now I've actually got to put a bleep in. Thanks, Ryan.
Yep. I was under the understanding, because I don't pay much attention.
It's the only word we can't say.
Oh, I beg to differ.
I thought the C word was Cody, to be honest. But.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, thank you.
Bad cop moment, spending more time to do a gender reveal on your primetime television series than you do a women's match.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. Guys, everybody should is out there. Please do support Ryan's project. It's something that I heavily support as well. It's a great read. If you get a chance to do so, please do. Graham, you're back with me next week. Who we got?
I don't know. We're so early this week. I normally call a person at the weekend to say if they're still available, so I haven't had a chance to look yet. I don't know.
Okay, so it could be Ryan again next week.
It could be Cody Rhodes. I don't know. I'm still waiting back for a response.
Eh, If he's got Ab, that's fine.
You can ask for The Rock. I can ask for Cody Rhodes.
What are you, Spencer Love?
We'll be back next week. We're out of here.
Boom.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/